On today's episode of Match Week Edition, Rob McAllister joins us talking about the loss against San Diego, why it's not time to panic. It's early in the season, and much, much more. So we talk about all that and break down the game as well and talk about Tulsa and league overview, a little bit of everything. And then following that, we went to our partners at Jackrabbit Brewing Company. We went there on location, interviewed their brewmaster, Mike Stone, to talk about some of their beer and to introduce the brand new beer, the Bear and the Hare, our co-branded beer, which is incredible. I got to taste it, and we do some other tasting as well during that interview. So it was a lot of fun. So excited for today's episode. Jam-packed, Rob McAllister and then Mike Stone from Jackrabbit. Grow your business with Citizens Business Bank. Since 1974, Citizens Business Bank has created banking relationships by focusing on their customers and helping them achieve more for their businesses, their employees, and the communities they serve. Choose a team that can help you achieve your goals by visiting cbbank.com to learn more. Citizens Biz Bank, member FDIC. Visit our friends at VJB Cellars in the heart of the Sonoma Valley and feel as though you've stepped into an Italian piazza. Taste award-winning Italian varietals, enjoy authentic wood-fired pizzas, and finish your visit with a scoop of gelato. A perfect way to spend your day, and only a quick 90-minute drive from Sacramento to a slice of Italy in the Sonoma wine country. Visit VJBCellars.com or give us a call to plan your visit today. Welcome to The Breakaway, a Sacramento Republic podcast.
Bandit in the box! Unbelievable strike!
My goodness, what a defensive play!
Half the crowd can't even believe it!
All right, Republic FC play-by-play announcer Rob McAllister is here. And Rob, we were just talking before we hit record. Despite being a 2-0 loss, we're both feeling relatively optimistic about how the team looked this Saturday and now heading into next Sunday.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything to cause panic about. I mean, A, you have 32 more matches. And also, that's a team that, you know, is going to football you into submission until you're bored and uninterested. And then they spring and they try to score. And that's kind of what they did. I mean, I don't think they actually kind of scored it to me in plays that are a little fluky. I think they just happened to be bounces that went their right way. But, you know, there was some kind of defensive lapses, too. I mean, they took advantage of those. But there isn't any major red flags to me after week two. I think that what we saw in week one, obviously it's a team that likes to get up and down a little bit more, but first time with the full squad on the road. I think you just move forward. I don't even know if we overly discuss what went right or went wrong, because it's one of those matches where I think you're not going to be able to take a ton from, other than you got a lot of shots up and you got what, 6 or 7 on target. And you outpossessed a team that loves to possess. So there are some positives.
And the big factor is when you have a large roster turnover like has happened, right, it's going to take a while to figure things out. And even for Mark Briggs' aspect, figuring out who his best 11 is. I mean, I still don't think we know that. I know guys have been getting healthy. Guys are getting into camp. We saw Luther Archimedes for the first time. And I think we can talk – I mean, maybe we'll get right into this because – we can talk about it, but the ability to bring him and put him and Dougie up top, I just think is so valuable. And to, I know they kind of switched the way they played a little bit formationally when he came in. But it seems like it's a whole different dimension.
I think you just have a lot of attack options, right? So you have both of them that can get up in the air. And when you look at what, I think 11 corner kicks, I mean, if we get 11 corner kicks, most matches, I'm taking Republic on that. And especially with Rodrigo Lopez serving those balls in, we just couldn't, you know, connect on them. But now you have two guys who can get up in the air along with your back line. And so, yeah, you know, I think the attack, Zeke Lewis is getting healthier. He's going to get more minutes. And yep, then you have Keiko, who I thought 2 for 2 has been, you know, the best player, 2 matches in a row now for the Republic. And it's interesting because, to go off on a tangent, but Mark was, I think, wanting to allow him to adjust to life here in the United States. The first time, I think they learned that with Pete Pettinen, that you need to probably have an adjustment period and not expect guys to shine right away. Well, Keiko's been the complete opposite of that. I think he's come in and been ready to go from the first time he was allowed on the pitch. So I think you have a lot of attack options. And yes, when you have Archimedes and Douglas Martinez in there, it allows you to serve balls in, allow some guys with some great speed, and it just makes it difficult to defend. And what that should do is allow space in between and in behind for other guys potentially to get in there and get a good look on goal.
One thing, too, you were talking about corner kicks. I thought some of the set pieces were incredible. The one where Roro basically served it out to, I think it was, yeah, it was Jack Gurr, who then put a laser on frame. I don't know if I've seen that at this level. And it's pretty evident that Jack Gurr's got quite the boot from distance. And I imagine, I mean, we saw it on opening night. He almost put one in, came off the crossbar, I think. And then the other one, there was another one where I think it was Dougie who ran. It was a free kick from out just outside the 18. And instead of going on frame, maybe it was a little too far to go straight to goal. It was just a little through ball that Dougie kind of ran through and then had an opportunity, and it kind of caught San Diego off guard a little bit. And so anyway, and I know that those things teams are going to scout. Obviously, you're going to see those things kind of diminish. But to see that Sacramento's thinking about those options, I think is incredible. And as you mentioned, with guys who can get up aerially and make plays. I mean, we saw a couple opportunities via header that were missed from Sacramento. But I'm excited. The attack in the second half, I mean, we were constantly peppering them. We were constantly having them on their back foot. I know we didn't score, and you can talk about finishing being a negative aspect and, you know, something that we've talked a lot about on this podcast the past couple of years, but like overall, when you get, I think it was 8 or 7 shots on target, many more taken in general, feeling pretty good. Even, I mean, early in the season, things aren't connecting. You could see some miscommunications that resulted in turnover. So I'm pretty optimistic. And Tulsa, I know we'll talk about them here in a second. They're going to play 3 matches in basically 10 days. They play San Diego tomorrow. And it's a good opportunity for Sacramento to kind of reconnect and get some of that vibe going, heading into, you know, the first, 3 game stretch in a short period of time with the Open Cup match.
Yeah. I mean, Jack Gurr's shot too is a weaker left foot. And if Vegas is not in the right position, that ball's in, you know, different match. Now it's a whole different game. So, yeah, moving forward, I think you look at FC Tulsa. FC Tulsa is going to be down. They've got Joaquin Rivas, former Republic player. He's on international duty.
I was just going to say that.
Rodrigo da Costa, he's out, also on international duty. So they got 2 big pieces in the midfield in their attack that are not going to be there. So this is a great opportunity to take advantage of a team that is missing some pieces and is not very deep, and I think it's a little bit weak in the back. I think the one thing that FC Tulsa that you can take advantage of is that back line, and through the middle is where, you know, Dougie should have a great day, really. And it's going to be up to Roro and guys in the middle to find those spaces and to lead them in to getting good looks on goal. So, you know, FC Tulsa, and I think they could be a good match, but I think this is one that should be had. There should be 3 points at the end of the night or afternoon on Sunday.
I think FC Tulsa, this is a completely separate tangent. FC Tulsa, one of my favorite crests in the league. USL Show podcast has been doing this. I love their rebrand. I mean, they were the Roughnecks, so they were kind of going.
Yeah, they went from worst to best, best, but they went to one. You know, that was a rough name, and you know, no pun intended. Man, and I can imagine how many times, you know, that slipped up or rednecks were put in there. And I know Roughnecks is for the oil industry, and there was a, you know, a nod to that, but it's just a little too close, and I just don't think it actually was something the community rallied around. I believe that was a name of the club years and years ago, so they tried to bring that back up, but I don't know. I think this is a better rebrand for them, and they've had better players. I mean, that first couple of years ago, they had a real rough start. I think they won 3 matches, so they've been on the up and up. They've gotten some better players over the years, and you know, Joaquin Rivas, I think from his time here to what the player he is now, a much different player.
The midfield has been interesting, just seeing the way Briggs has kind of tweaked it around, right? We saw Roro kind of play on the left wing on opening night, and then he played a little bit more centrally this match, putting Keiko up on the left wing. But it's kind of been interchangeable throughout the match. Like they haven't been locked to those positions. What have you seen from that aspect that has helped Sacramento, not necessarily in the attack, but just as also in the distribution?
Putting Lopez in the middle allows him to get more touches, and I think that was what Mark wanted to do from week 1 to week 2. He said you don't want to take, you know, one of your best distributors pretty much out of possession half the time, and so I think he wanted to put him in that space, and I think credit to Roro, he'll play wherever, and I think Mark has acknowledged that with, you know, Keiko, the way that he's playing, I think he deserves a spot there. But it's going to be interesting. I mean, I don't know what changes will be made, but you have guys. I mean, Zico Lewis is really good. Like this may be the best offseason signing. I'm not really. And we haven't really seen him play because he wasn't in full of training throughout preseason. So I think only as he gets along, you're just going to be able to give some guys some rest, but you're going to be able to throw a lot of guys forward, and he's going to be one of them. So you could essentially have almost a three or four attacking mid forward group in there, and with Roro sort of running it, and you have Luis Felipe or Matt LaGrassa, maybe holding midfielder, maybe Nick Ross can interchange a little bit between those two roles. I think those midfielders will really start to become more comfortable with each other, which will only happen, which will only help the increased probability that we'll see more goals going forward. And in a game like we saw Saturday versus San Diego, I think you see that match in a month from now where the group is, you know, a little bit more time together. I think that's a draw or a win at this point in time. I think it's a completely different match. You just give Republic more time.
And I know you mentioned on the broadcast that we don't play San Diego, I think, until the final match of the year, right?
Yeah. October 15th.
Yeah, so it's going to be a long while before we see that team again. So it'll be interesting to see how both teams have changed in that duration. One thing that I thought was interesting and excellent is the feeling that I got seeing some of our substitutions come on, where I'm like, oh, this guy is going to make an impact. And I felt that about every single one of them. I've been impressed. I've been to a lot of trainings. When Connor Donovan was out with injuries, I spent a lot of time talking to him because he was sitting with me when I was watching. So I got to spend the time talking with me. Great player, obviously, with Oklahoma City. We've talked about him a couple times when you've been on the pod. Good to see him get some run. Duke Lacroix, good to see him get some run. I imagine he's going to be battling for that left back spot with Sosa. And we talked about Arsham. And there's just a lot of guys who can come off the bench and make a huge impact. And we didn't even see them all. And that's what I think is incredibly entertaining and exciting about the future is, like, who's going to be in the 11? Who knows? But it doesn't really matter necessarily because guys can come off the bench and make a huge impact.
Well, and they can play different roles. Right. I mean, Sosa's great because you can put him pretty much anywhere in that back line. You know, Demia Vieter, who has not yet seen action, played with Sosa in USL1 in Union Omaha. And there's another guy that's going to give you some flexibility. I think that's the biggest key, is that you have players you can move in different situations, whether injuries or rest need to come up, and you're not having a drop off at all. That is going to be massive for the long haul. So those are things you don't see after 2 weeks. You see it after 2 months.
Did you see Vegas pulling up a victory over Phoenix?
Massive 2-1. I mean, at home, the lights. I mean, that's the thing. You have a lot of young talent there. And if everyone's just going to roll over Vegas this year, I don't know if that's the case. I know we see them end of April. So, I mean, that's going to be a huge confidence boost for that club. That's great.
I noticed, I think Rick Shantz in the post game was complaining about, I think it was the smoke or the from the pyro stuff. And I saw some of our fans commenting on that. I just wanted to bring it up. That's all. We don't have to comment on it. I just wanted to bring it up. San Antonio, if we want to quickly go around the USL, teams have looked sharp. Switchbacks, San Antonio, New Mexico, and San Diego, all teams.
Well, Mitch Tanner got a goal. I think his 150th appearance in USL, and that was big for him. I think he got a red card.
Team of the
too,
week. Oh, did he?
Yeah, I didn't see the red card. He got two yellows. So he got kicked out of his own match. But, you know, I just think it's really balanced. And you look at the West, and I think in 2 weeks, it's hard to say who's, you know, I think New Mexico is sort of a surprise to me a little bit, honestly. I didn't think that was going to happen. You know, but yeah, you look at that, at standings and where teams are. I don't know if it's going to be easy to decipher who's in and who's out at this point in time. I think Monterey Bay is probably, you know, where you probably thought they would be. LA Galaxy, maybe the same, but El Paso is surprising. They've dropped two now.
Yeah, I think really it's Monterey Bay and LA Galaxy 2 at the kind of the bottom. I mean, and at this point, and from there up, everybody can be interchangeable because everybody's pretty close.
And the Galaxy 2 have really good talent. It just depends on who they leave down there. And if they don't bring, like, Preston Judd's there all year, that's a big deal for them.
I'm a big Preston Judd guy.
Yeah, and they've got some guys that are getting some first team minutes now. So, but who's to say? You know, Galaxy are a big club. They may bring in, you know, some big name player over the summer, and then that may push one of the younger guys back down. So, you know, I think just talent wise, they play hard and they're really good. So we consider them a lower team. We've had struggles with them. So I don't know if any of the ones are going to be a pushover this year, and that makes the league really fun. And I think that's great for the league because we've had some years where it was just hard to get excited about a match.
Yep. And that's not the case. I don't feel like about any of them this year. I'm fired up for Sunday. FC Tulsa, last year, Sacramento had a tough window because of they had the international window during a three-match window in like 8 days. FC Tulsa going through it right now, as you mentioned, with Joaquin Rivas. So they play San Diego Wednesday, as I mentioned. That's tomorrow. And then they play us Sunday. And Sacramento not having to deal with, obviously, the international stuff, but not having as many games. They haven't had a weekday match yet. It won't have one until the Open Cup match in early April. So should be a good opportunity. Do you see any, I know this is a little early to talk about, but do you see any starting 11 changes? I know we've really only seen one or two. Any sort of guys that jumped out who came off the bench you might see in the 11 coming up Saturday?
Yeah, I don't know. It just depends, I think, on what Mark's trying to do. If you're going to try to rest some guys, I mean, Lee Desmond sort of didn't get a full train, so you might see him. Right. But I thought he played really well. I think he shut down Vassell really well. I mean, I think he had a good night. You could move that around. I think you see Dupacquah back in the 11. I don't think Sosa had a bad game, but I don't think he had a great game like he had in week one. And I think it's sort of Duke's position. I mean, I think that only seems fair in my opinion. So I think you have Duke back in there. I think Jacker has been spectacular on that right side. I think defensively there was just lapses all around. I think there was some miscommunication. But I think, you know, moving forward, he's a real threat. And then in the midfield, you're going to probably have Luis Felipe. It seems like a good position. So then neither Nick Ross or Matt LaGrassa in that other spot. And then you probably have Roro. And then you're probably going to go with, if you look at Emil Cuello, which I don't think Emil had his best match either. I just think it seemed like San Diego just got a lot of guys out of position and where they needed to be. And it just sort of disrupted everyone. So you could see Zico Lewis, I think, on that right side. If Mark wants to maybe look at something different, Keiko back in the left, or, you know, I said Roro in the middle. And I think Martinez back up top. So that to me is probably what you're going to look for. And then, I think everything's interchangeable. I don't think that one game, I don't think anyone's like, whoa.
No,
you know, they shouldn't be playing it. San Diego had a lot of disruption that would impacted us, and to their credit, ended up the 2-1 win or 2-0 win. So I just think, I think you're going to have those matches, and you got to just bounce back and see how it goes from there. But no one did anything that was deserving of not being in the lineup. I just think that you should maybe it's just time to keep kind of tweaking a little bit and see what works.
Those are the two changes I was thinking as well. Zico up on the right wing. Depends on where he's at fitness level wise. I mean, he's looked pretty good, so I can't imagine it, you know, going 60 plus, 70 plus would be too hard for him. But that was the one thing. But yeah, Zico and Duke were the two I was thinking of too. I think having a lefty on that left side is something Marcus talked about. And I know Sosa usually on the right side. I think Vieter will play a little more on the left. So we'll see. But I'm excited, man. Sunday, first off, are we going to have to wear sunscreen is the first question.
I love afternoon matches. Me kids too. Get to show up. It's the best. I know some people don't, but I tell you, I think they're amazing. They're super fun. They have an incredible atmosphere. And I think it brings out a new energy. We've seen some great goals during the daytime from Republic players too over the years.
That's a good point.
I love it. I think it's just a good change up, especially early in the year. It's beautiful out and it's going to be a beautiful Sunday. Man, I can't wait to be there.
I saw rain was in the forecast, but then I checked again today and it's no longer. It moved to Monday. So thank goodness for that.
I think
I'm a pro night guy games just because energy, the energy is different. But listen, I like a day game as much as anybody else. And especially for a Sunday, you're right. Kids coming out, having a good time. It's a perfect opportunity. And one of the things that was very evident this last time at on opening night is these guys thrive and want to play in front of these home fans. And I think that was super evident, not only with the win and how hard they played, but how long they stayed after the game and celebrated with the fans, I think is a great indicator of how much they wanted to, you know, use them as their kind of backbone of energy. So I'm fired up. Hey, do we want to, I should have done this on our preview pod of like, should we do like a, maybe I don't know. I'm trying to think. Like an eliminator every time you come on, we eliminate a team from playoff contention. It's either
I know.
But by the time we get to the end of the year, then it's good. Maybe we wait a little while, or we can do locks, so we can do the vice versa. So teams that we think are going to be in.
I'll go either way. I think an easy one is Monterey, probably not in.
Yeah, that is an easy one. So then. All right, so how about this? We'll talk about it, do it together. So you do we pick a team that we think is out, and then we also pick a team that is we think is in for this first part, and then we can go from there. We can switch from conferences. How about that?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm throwing this around, man. Hey, listen, this is
But here's surprising, right? Like, you look who's in the top seven right now, and there's obviously several teams that are tied, right? But is RGV going to be there? Is Las Vegas going to be there? I don't know. Is, you know, Orange County going to be there? So that's the thing, is that checking in a month, and I think you might have a little bit better picture, but
yeah.
Yeah, it's,
I know,
it's,
that's what's fun. We want to be wrong.
Yeah, I will say this. I think there are like three teams that to me are above the rest, and Sacramento is one of them right now.
Oh.
Yeah, so I know I'm said to try to be a homer. I really legitimately watching these guys, and you go against the San Diego team that pretty much had their same course. So two back-to-back matches, you go against teams that really didn't change much of their core. They changed one or two pieces in their starting 11, right?
Mm-hmm.
We basically flipped everyone. So I like this in the long game. I'm taking Sacramento as a top two or three finisher. And I just think that you have a team like a Colorado Springs, who I really like as well. And I still really like El Paso. I mean, even though they have won a match, it's only been 2 weeks. Those to me are like the top three. Phoenix is right there. Those to me are your most dangerous four teams in the Western Conference.
I like it. I think I agree. I think Orange County is going to dip a bit. And I see Vegas, RGV, Monterey Bay definitely being like my locks to not make the playoffs. Yeah. That would be my guess. LA Galaxy, I never know.
Yeah, and Oakland Roots haven't done enough, I don't think. I think, yeah, they've got a new coach in there. I know they tired Darren Sparmella. But I just don't know if they did enough to compete with the rest of the league, and some of the players that were brought in to the West. Yeah. It's just, I think it's going to be too much in a long season. And you're not playing the same teams four times, right? So you got to really spread it out. And this is a bigger test. To me, this is a legitimate season for everyone. And it will shape out where it needs to be at the end of the year. I think that it will be much more appropriate than we saw the last 2 years.
I'm also curious to see how the Eastern Conference versus Western Conference of which conference is better. I always love looking at that kind of stuff. And it seems like the Western Conference is just so deep.
I think the East is very top heavy. So Pittsburgh, Louisville, Tampa, you know, Charleston, you know, right. And then everyone sort of falls off pretty hard after that.
Loudon's 2-0.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll see, right? They do have some good pieces. Is Hayden there, right?
Yeah, he played there on, I think, on Saturday. I think he got the start. Yeah.
So, All right. Well, it was fun. I'm excited for Sunday.
I'm fired up, man. Listen, hey, these last two games, I've been excited both times for the match. And then obviously I get more excited for home games anyway. So, you know, it's one of those things. So it'll be a great atmosphere. I'm excited. And I know that it'll be good to you. And you like doing the games in person better than the road games, right?
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought. All right. Rob McAllister, anything else you want to talk about? I don't know.
I think we're good. I just think it's early to jump on anything at this point to overly dissect this club.
I know,
and
that's me, man.
Excited to see. I know, but I know it's fine. You know, way too early predictions, right? So I just believe that this is a really good foundation, and that to me is the most exciting part. So I don't, I'm not getting too low over any loss.
Yeah, me neither.
Earlier in the year,
I felt, even though we didn't score in the second half, I felt really good about it. And we've talked about it, the way the different dimensions Sacramento can use an attack, I think is going to make them dangerous. And halfway through the season, or maybe even a quarter way through the season, when they're all on the same page, I think it'll be exciting.
Well, they're going to be fun to watch. I mean, there's clubs that are not fun to watch.
San Diego.
Yeah, you might win. Yeah, they are. They're boring. It's really hard. I haven't looked forward to a San Diego game ever, other than the first one. I don't know what we're going to see. And San Antonio used to be the same way. You knew it was just going to be a drag out battle.
Yeah.
And some teams like to play that way, and that's totally fine. I understand that. And some people like that brand of soccer. I do not.
I don't either. There's teams like that in every sport. Like,
sure,
the Houston Rockets were like that forever with James Harden. Like, you didn't, who wanted to watch them?
It's boring. One-on-one. Yeah. And that's, so the wins to me aren't always what this is about. And you have to energize a fan base. And I think that our fan base does not want to watch that style. I think what we're doing here is really fantastic. And I'm excited to what this team can ultimately do and put on a nice show and while doing it.
I agree. I'm fired up. Rob, we'll catch you on the broadcast on Sunday. If you can't make it, it'll be on the Fox 40 app, 40.2, or fox40.com/RepublicFC, or on ESPN Plus as well. Rob McAllister, thank you, brother. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, my friend. I'll see you Sunday.
At Elk Grove Charter School, our students chase their dreams. Student advance at their own pace. EGCS offers flexible schedules, small class sizes, and accelerated learning in a fully accredited learning environment. We help students balance their academic goals while pursuing their passions in club sports, performing arts, entrepreneurship, and much, much more. Elk Grove Charter School is now enrolling. Learn more by going to egcs.egusd.net or give us a call at 916-714-1653. We're confident our students will astound you.
All right, Republic FC fans, super excited for today's episode because it's the first time we're on remote. And we're at Jackrabbit Brewing Company. We're here with Mike Stone from Jackrabbit. Dude, thank you for having us.
Thanks for coming.
I'm excited. We're going to try some beer here in a little bit. I've already had a little bit of a taste, a little warm-up.
Me too.
I'm feeling good. I'm liking it so far. I'm not driving home intentionally.
Me neither.
but anyway, I want to talk a little bit about the partnership. We're super excited to partner with you guys and excited to talk and learn more about Jackrabbit. So kind of give us a little lowdown of how you guys got started and where you guys are now.
Cool. Well, we've started here in 2013, so we've been brewing beer here in West Sac since 2013. We have recently made some expansion projects here, and so we're really excited to use some of that expansion to partner with Sac Republic.
And I know you're a big soccer fan.
I'm a huge soccer fan.
So, and you've been to a lot of Sac Republic games. Did you go Saturday?
I did go Saturday.
And it was the first time that your guys' beer was available at the game.
Maybe it's a good luck charm.
Oh, I like that. I like that a lot. All right, so let's talk about some of this beer. I'm trying one right now, but I don't want to talk about it yet because we'll get to the taste test a little bit. But talk me through some of the process of brewing beer, what you guys do, because the beer is just fantastic.
Oh, I really appreciate that. So we kind of make a pretty wide range of beers here at Jackrabbit. We definitely do a lot of IPAs. So we'll do West Coast IPAs. We'll do hazy IPAs. We do a decent amount of sour beer as well, and as well as lagers, and also Belgians, which are something we've been known for since we opened in 2013.
And the process, I'm sure, when you go to, like, for instance, take me through, and maybe we'll talk about the Bear and the Hare, which is a very exciting kind of co-branded beer that we're super excited about. Which is, by the way, love the name, love the design. The bear, obviously, for Sac Republic. The hare, obviously, for Jackrabbit, which is incredible. But I'm curious a little bit about the exact process and how you guys started to brew that beer, come up with some of the flavor tasting, some of those pieces that go into it.
Cool. So, yeah, most of the brewing process here starts with, you know, crushing grain, putting it into a mash tun, steeping it for about an hour, transferring just the liquid section off, boiling it, adding some hops, running it through a heat exchanger, cooling it rapidly, adding some yeast, letting the yeast do the work and make the beer, and then we'll dry hop later and carbonate and make a beer.
So hang on, that was a lot of steps you just.
Oh, it was really fast.
How long does that process take?
During the day today, I brewed a batch today, and it took me 6 hours from start to finish.
Wow.
Yeah, and then the maturation time takes and fermentation takes closer to a month.
Got it. Okay, and then so. Do you know exactly when you're going in to make a beer, I'm going to use this much hops, this much this, and is that what kind of drives some of that flavor?
Yeah, absolutely. So Robert Moreno and myself both are the brewers here. We have quite a few years of experience, more than we probably should for our ages. And
we won't talk about that.
No. But yeah, it comes with a career worth of experience where we definitely have made, probably it, 1,000 beers between us, different styles of beer. And so we definitely have those tastes already built in from things that we pick out of beers that, we've already made or that we've tried other people made.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we'll take some of those ideas from the different beers that people make or from other things that we've made and combine that into get us what we're looking for, the desired flavor profile for the beer.
And when you start with a beer and you're like, okay, I want to make, say it's an IPA. What makes a difference in the, maybe the fermentation, when the process for you between like a, say a blonde beer or an IPA or a lager, like you mentioned?
Sweet. So the main difference between the lagers and the IPAs are going to be the yeast. So the yeast for a lager is a bottom-feeding yeast, so it runs at a cooler temperature. The ales usually run at a higher temperature, and they ferment a little bit more quickly. The lagers do take a long time, which is why you don't see as many lagers out in the open market. But beyond that, the difference between a blonde ale and like an IPA would be the amount of hops that go into it. Hops are a preservative in beer.
Right.
And so the more you add, the more bitter it makes the beer. And so your main difference in that is going to be hop additions in between the two beers.
So what makes, I mean, I've tasted this beer, and then we're going to do some taste testing here in a little bit. But what makes Jackrabbit different from several different local breweries in the area, and what makes you guys special?
We think it's kind of Robert and my play on some of the beers that we have, you know, some of the ideas that we come up with, whether it's on the sour side with some fruit additions, things like that, or whether it's specific styles of IPAs and techniques that we like to use to get to the final product of the IPA.
Well, I'm ready. I'm should we start taste testing?
Oh, let's do it.
Okay, what do you, which one do you want to start with?
Well, it looks like we just got served the bear and the hare, but we can start with whatever you want.
I think this is the one I got when
party,
I came in.
Party clouds, it looks like.
Yes, that is what it is. All right, so I'll start with this one. This is an IPA, right?
Yes.
Tell me about a little bit about this one while I drink it.
So this is a hazy IPA. The difference in this is a lot of times not the hoppiness. People say, oh, it's not hoppy. That is incorrect. It's extremely hoppy. It is not bitter. And so a lot of the mouthfeel you'll get on that is very full. It's a very protein-heavy beer. So that's what gives it the haze, is oats and wheat, which are protein-heavy grains.
It's delicious.
Thank you very much.
That's fantastic. I don't want to move on to the next one.
Oh, man, I didn't even get that one.
What happened?
I'm not sure. I'll try this one.
I've
had it.
Yeah. I'm sure you have.
Yeah.
Are you the first person to taste test them after they come out of the fermentation process?
Either Robert or I are definitely one of the two people that taste these. Right. You know, we taste throughout the process, too, and it is really like a small, very, very small sip. The difference between wine and beer is that you do actually have to swallow the beer to get the flavor and the taste. You know, it's kind of about some of that bite in the back of your tongue and whatever else is it as you swallow your beer.
Okay, I'm going to move on to this next one. What is this one right here?
So this is the bear and the hare.
Oh, this is it?
This is it.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm pretty stoked.
Oh, wow. I got the can in front of me. I've already seen the can. I saw it last week. And this is, correct me if I'm wrong, this is a high percentage of alcohol, right? 7-something?
7.2% alcohol. So, yeah, it's definitely got a little kick to it.
Which is great. All right.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Nice.
Wow. That is fantastic.
Thank you. Yeah, so that's a classic West Coast IPA. You'll definitely notice a lot more bitterness than you get with the hazy IPA.
Right.
More of a bright flavor tingling in the back of your mouth as opposed to, you know, just a more full mouthfeel that you get with the hazy style IPAs.
Well, so, you talked about the bitterness a little bit earlier. Neither one of these beers, they have a little bit of bitterness, but not much.
Yeah.
Is that by design?
It is by design.
Okay.
Yeah. Their IBUs and the measurement of IBUs are a pretty big debate amongst some of the brewing community because it's very hard to measure what an actual IBU is. So I think we kind of brew our IPAs for our taste, which are just a little bit softer on the IBU level. The hazy beer is technically zero IBUs because there are no hops on the bittering side. The hazies are definitely fruit-forward beers, whereas your IPAs are going to be more bitter, piney. There's definitely some citrus notes in there, but it's mostly, there's a little dank and a little piney notes in there.
So there's a lot of different beers I see on the menu. By the way, this place is beautiful.
Thanks.
I love this spot. Here in West Sac, we'll talk about more about how to get to know you guys and all that kind of stuff. What's your favorite beer that you've made here up on the menu?
Ooh,
it's a tough one.
I like the Dunwerken Pilsner because I usually like to have one after work. So Dunwerken.
So, is this a normal after work thing for you, or at least having a beer?
Oh, I usually try a beer after work. You know, sample something. It just
It's taste test process like in between? You mentioned you don't wait till the end. What do you, after process one, what's the first time you actually taste it?
So I taste the wort, which is just the sugary part before yeast is added. I'll taste that as I'm brewing. I'm constantly smelling and tasting just to see if there's a problem. So there are a lot of known off flavors in beer. Some you can put your finger on and some you can't exactly put your finger on it, but there's not something right. You know, each time we do this, it's different and, and slightly unique. We try to keep continuity amongst the batches, but there are slight differences to each batch. So a lot of my job is to taste between those two batches and make sure that, you know, things are tasting pretty similar.
So when you first tasted the Bear in the Hair, what's the thing that stuck out to you the most?
Oh, it was sugary, because that was on brew day, and I tasted it, and it had no alcohol, and I was like, oh, this is very sugary. But no, once it was dry hopped and actually a finished beer, the first thing that jumped out at me was the brightness. You know, this is a pretty bright beer.
Yeah.
Even for 7.2%, it does not drink like a 7.2, which, depending on how you look at it, is a great thing.
That is a great thing.
Yeah.
It'll sneak up on you, but that's a good thing in my eyes.
Yeah, just make sure you get a ride to the games.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. That's the way to go anyway. And the design too. I know you want to shout out the designer, because the Bear in the Hair design on the can is incredible. And I know you guys have someone that you typically have design your labels, correct?
We do. His name's Andy, and I don't have a lot of more information.
That's
on
okay.
That's unfortunate.
Shout out to you, Andy.
Yeah, Andy, great guy. He makes really cool labels. He does hide a bear and a hare in the label of the can, so it's kind of like a Where's Waldo on the label here.
Wait a second.
Uh-huh.
Not in the logo, though, right?
No, it's not in the logo. It's really in the shadows. I'll be honest, I have not found the bear, but I definitely know where the hare is.
This is going to have me trying to find this forever.
Yeah.
I love that. A little Easter egg. Oh.
Yeah.
Little Easter egg. With Jackrabbit. Hey, it doesn't get much better than that. If people want to come out and taste test and have some of your beers, obviously they're going to be at the games, right?
Yep. Yeah.
But if you want to come out to West Sac to the tasting room, which is incredible, we're having our nonprofit mixer. Shout out to Kevin Burdick, who drove me here, who is going to be having his nonprofit mixer here. But if people want to come over and taste the beer, where are you guys located? I can tell them, but I know you probably have a better way to.
It's on Terminal Avenue. I believe it's 1315.
All right.
Terminal Avenue. It's on the can. 1315 Terminal Street, West Sacramento, California. You will definitely get the opportunity to taste a lot more beer here at the tap room than you could at the Sac Republic game or Sacramento Republic games. We'll only have three beers at the game.
And that's obviously this one.
And then two rotating other beers, I believe.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
But here we do have 20 taps. You know, we have a nitro tap for the dry Irish stout or your...
We got a lot of Irish players.
Oh, man, they might like it. Hopefully they like it. Oh, man, we got to give them some.
They will. Well, I don't know if we're allowed... I don't know. Maybe not... They definitely will.
Okay.
I don't know if the head coach will like
that. Out of season.
Yeah, there you go.
Next season.
Go, exactly.
Yeah. End of season. Yeah.
Exactly. Go to jackrabbitbrewing.com for more information. And if you guys want to come on out, as he mentioned, 1323 Terminal Street in West Sac. But more importantly, you can grab him at a Sac Republic match. Where are you guys located in the venue? I forget.
I believe we're in the corners. The white picketed fence bar areas where
gotcha.
We were in there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate
no problem.
It, Mr. I mean, this was fantastic. I'm going to drink some more of this right now. I'm fired up. The Bear in the Hair. It doesn't get much better than that. You went to throw one in my backpack. That's a good move. It's not going to make it there at home. It's going to be drinking before we get there. But it was a pleasure. We're so excited to party with you guys. This is incredible. And thank you for having us, man. This is great.
No problem. Thanks for having us.
Our thanks to Rob McAllister for joining us, as well as Mike Stone from Jackrabbit Brewing. By the way, coming up Thursday night, come join us for a watch party, USA versus Mexico at Jackrabbit. You can get 20% off beers, plus you can try the Bear in the Hair for the first time. Come on over to Jackrabbit in West Sacramento, and it'll be a great time. So join us out there for that. It will be excellent. And if you haven't done so, grab your tickets for Sunday's match against FC Tulsa at 2 o'clock kickoff. It should be beautiful weather, and it should be a fun afternoon on a Sunday. It should be beautiful. I mean, I'm excited. So grab your tickets right now, sacrepublicfc.com/singlematchtickets, and we hope to see you out there. One more pod coming this week. I know I said that last week, but there really is one more coming this week, and it'll be exciting. That's coming up on Thursday. And of course, as always, we wouldn't want to forget this. Go Republic!